If someone asks you, how do you know that you are saved? How will you answer them? You may say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but the devil believes and he's going to hell. Or you may say, I go to this church or that church, but even a dog can walk into a church. Or you may say, all my family are Christians, but salvation is personal and no one can enter the kingdom of God on another person's passport. To be saved, each of us must have a personal relationship with Jesus. So, how do we have a personal relationship with Jesus and be sure that we are saved? Firstly, the Holy Spirit lives in everyone who repents of their sins and trusts in Jesus. We are told in Acts 2:38 and Ephesians 1:13 that as soon as a person turns away from sin, repents, and puts their trust in Jesus, then they are saved and the Holy Spirit immediately comes to live within them. So if you have repented and put your trust in Jesus, then you will be sure that you are saved because the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now let's look at how the Spirit testifies, speaks to us. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. So if we listen to and follow Jesus' voice, then we will know that we are one of his sheep. That is, we are one of God's children. Listening to Jesus' voice is the same as listening to the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Jesus. Now, how do we listen to the Spirit? Well, firstly, regarding the Holy Spirit, John 16:8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So whenever we sin, the Spirit makes us feel guilty and we lose our peace. When we lie, we lose our peace. When we steal, we lose our peace. When we hate, we lose our peace. When we lust, we lose our peace. When we covet, we lose our peace. Whenever you lose your peace, there is something wrong between you and God, and you should turn to him in prayer and ask why you have no peace. He will soon tell you. This is what is meant by listening. Listening is simply noticing that you have no peace and asking God why he has taken your peace away. Following is simply repenting of whatever sin God is convicting you of. When you come to God in repentance, you must have the right attitude. Repentance is not saying, yeah, I know I'm sinning, but I'm only human, as that is just an excuse to continue in sin. Repentance is coming to God with a broken heart, saying something like, Lord, I've sinned against you. I know I'm a hell-deserving sinner. Please forgive me and cleanse me of this sin, because I don't want to continue doing it. You must have the right attitude of heart when you repent. If your heart is not right, then you won't be forgiven, nor will you be strengthened to resist sin. In Psalm 51:17, David showed the right attitude of heart towards his sin when he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David was broken-hearted over his sin, and we should be too, as God hates sin. So listening is becoming aware that you have no peace and asking God why he has taken your peace away. Following is confessing with heartfelt repentance, and this results in forgiveness and peace with God, as well as cleansing, so that you have the strength to resist future sin. It may not seem right to say that whenever we lose our peace, there is a problem between us and God, but when you carefully consider it, it is true. Stress over family matters, money, work and health are very common. But in Matthew 11:28 and 29, Jesus tells us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This rest is simply the peace of God. Also, many of us need to repent of striving to be first, because Philippians 2, 3-8 tell us to put aside self-interest and become servants, just as the Lord did. There are also many Christians who become angry people when they drive a car, and many gossip. We must repent of all these things, and any other unloving way we may have. It is very important to understand that you cannot overcome sin in your own strength, but with God all things are possible. It is God's promise that, through the Holy Spirit, you can be cleansed of any sin. No sin is too big for God to handle. Romans 8:4 tells us that we have the Spirit in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Note that this verse says that if we live according to the Spirit, then we can fully meet God's righteous requirements. Remember, in Psalm 51:17, David was repenting of being an adulterer, a deceiver, and a murderer. Yet God forgave him because he was broken-hearted over his sin. Regarding the Spirit's work, Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, through the Holy Spirit, to will and to act according to his good purpose. And that purpose is to change you by giving you the power to resist sin so that you can live a new life. Through the Holy Spirit you are born again and given the power to leave your old sinful life, just as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." The Holy Spirit gives us power to live godly lives. 2 Peter 1:3-4 say, "His divine power, the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and godliness, so that you may escape the corruption in the world, sin, caused by evil desires." Titus 2:11 and 12 agree with this in saying, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age." So we can see from these verses that God gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can have control over our sinful nature and are no longer slaves to sin, but instead we have divine power to live self-controlled lives, holy and pleasing to God. Now I'd like to give some examples of how God has changed my life. There was a Christian lady whom I found hard to like. For quite some time, I used to avoid her so that I wouldn't have to talk to her, but one day I lost my peace when the Lord heavily convicted me of this ongoing sin. So I said something like, "Lord, it's wrong that I dislike my sister. Please help me to love her." After this, I went to visit her, and as soon as I began speaking to her, the Lord changed my heart. To my surprise, we became friends, and I was at peace with her and with God. I know that I shouldn't have been surprised because God can do anything, but it was very special to have God cleanse me of this sin and change my unloving, hard heart. In John 13:34, God commands us to love one another. Is there anyone you need to get right with? We are told to love even our enemies. If you are being unkind to anyone, then you need to repent. In Romans 12:18, we are told, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." We should be able to look everyone directly in the eye and love one another deeply from the heart. Loving each other is not just something nice to do, it is God's command, and the command comes with a very serious warning. In 1 John 4:20 and 3:15, we are told that if anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. The sanctifying work of God in our life can be compared to the work of a motor mechanic. We ask a mechanic to work inside our car, to change things and to tune it up so that it runs well. Well, Jesus is our maker, and if we ask him to work within us, then he will change us so that we can live a life which pleases him. Jesus will not force us to do this. It is only when we willingly listen to and follow his voice that he cleanses us and changes our hearts. The Lord has delivered me from drinking, swearing, lying, stealing, and other sins that I won't mention, but being delivered from shyness was a truly wonderful thing. I was so shy that I could hardly talk at Bible studies, and I would not go to prayer meetings as I got a headache just thinking about it. I also used to get sick before mixing with people and was ashamed of the gospel. But one day I got on my knees and in tears I said something like, "Christians are meant to live a victorious life, but I am a defeated coward. If you want me to change, then you'll have to do it." I felt no change, but next day I met a friend in the city who was preaching on the footpath. When he finished, he asked me if I wanted to turn, and with my Bible in one hand and a tract in another, I preached in the street, and I was as calm and confident as anyone could be. Now that is the power of the Holy Spirit. I was set free, and as John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Perhaps the most important place to get right with God is in our home. Holiness starts with our family. If we are loving and kind to our friends and neighbours, but treat our wife, husband or family badly, then we are simply hypocrites. In Ephesians 5:25 we are told, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Once again, listening is becoming aware of your lack of peace and asking God why he has taken your peace away. Following is confessing to God in heartfelt repentance, and this results in forgiveness and peace with God, as well as strength to resist future sin. When we sin, our peace with God is taken away. When we repent, our peace returns. Every time we lose our peace, there is a problem between us and God. Romans 8:14 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So sons of God listen to and follow the Holy Spirit's leading and will have peace with God, because Romans 8:6b tells us that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Read the passage Colossians 3:1-17, which tells us to put to death all sin and to put on love, and by doing this we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Love, faithfulness, righteousness and peace are all in perfect unity and are so close that they meet and kiss each other, as Psalm 85:10 tells us. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Isaiah 26:3 sums up the peace of God, where it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. So if we listen to and follow Jesus' voice, then we will know God's perfect peace. Now, what happens if we don't listen to and follow Jesus? Firstly, what I have been talking about in this video is not about being sinlessly perfect, as we all sin from time to time. What I am talking about is that we must not have a sinful lifestyle. That is, things like lying, stealing, hating, lusting, etc. must not be part of our normal way of life. We may struggle with sin, but the fact that we are struggling shows that we have a repentant heart. God will forgive any sin, but if we refuse to repent and deliberately continue in sin, then we will be in danger of losing our salvation. See Hebrews 10:26-30. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The key word in this verse is if. So to receive forgiveness, we must repent whenever we sin. The danger of not repenting is given in the following verses, which are only a few of many warnings given to Christians. Romans 8:12-14 warn us in saying, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die in hell. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. 1 John 3:6a and 3:10b tell us that no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Colossians 1:21-23 say, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Note the if. These verses and many others tell us that if we ignore the Holy Spirit's conviction and deliberately continue in sin, then we are in danger of the fire of hell. Let us all listen to James 1:22, which says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, do what it says. So don't just listen to the Spirit convicting you, follow by repenting. So far I have been focusing on sin, but God's peace is our guide in all matters. Philippians 4:6-7 say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, when you ask, God will give you wisdom in all that you think, say, and do, and you will have His peace when your ways are according to His will. He will take away your peace if you speak, think, or do anything that is against His will. So when you pray about something and have peace about doing it, then go ahead and do it, because God always honors our prayers and gives us His peace when we are doing things according to His will. God will even control your tongue, if you allow Him. James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. At times I speak too quickly and wish that I had never said some things, but whenever I ask God to help me with what I say, He controls my tongue. I often say to God, 'Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips.'" Psalm 141:3. Again, I'd like to stress this very important point. Whenever we sin or go against His will, God takes away our peace. When we repent, God's peace returns. Every time we lose our peace, there is a problem between us and God. I'll finish off with a few verses which tell us that our salvation is in Jesus. Jesus compares our life in Him with the life of a branch in a vine. In John 15:5 and 6, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned." So we can see that Christians, branches, must remain in Jesus, the vine. Otherwise, they will be cut out and burned. Remaining in Jesus simply means that we continue to listen to and follow His voice. Our salvation can also be compared to the life of a goldfish. As long as the fish remains in the water, it will live, but if it jumps out of the bowl, it will die. The goldfish must stay in the water for it to live, and you and I must remain in Jesus if we want to remain saved and live with Him eternally. 1 John 5:11c tells us that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. This video started out asking how you would answer someone if they asked you how you know that you are saved. The answer is something like this: "I know I am saved because the Holy Spirit assures me that I am a child of God. Therefore, I listen to and follow Jesus' voice. If I sin, I repent and receive forgiveness. I've been born again and live a new, holy life." Finally, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you walk with Him. Amen.